Good morning, church. Good morning. Christmas is coming. Man, as far as your Christmas presents go, how's everybody doing as far as Christmas shopping?
Done?
Anybody about to get started tomorrow? Anybody in that boat? Yes. Awesome. Normally, when you ask that question, if there's a married couple, one person raises their hand for the first part, and the other person raises their hand for the second part, because opposites attract, don't they? As far as Christmas shopping goes, we got to go out and experience a little fun yesterday. We went to Shields yesterday as a family. First time we've ever traveled as a family of five people. We decided to go to Shields on a Saturday afternoon in the middle of December. We are not smart people all the time. Sometimes I have dumb ideas, and for some reason my wife goes, sure, that's a good idea. Let's go to Shields. And so we go, and we're looking around, and of course, the great thing about shopping around this time of year with kids is that you have the ultimate excuse for not buying them anything. Normally it's just no, but now it's almost Christmas, so I don't want to buy you something and have someone else get it, right? And so we're looking around at all the awesome gifts, and of course, my son finds all the cool things that, you know, I take pictures of all of it, all the cool things that he just has to have. But one of the ones was, man, this little bouncy ball. And I love my kids at this age because sometimes they want expensive gifts. Sometimes the thing they want most is just a bouncy ball. And there's this ball, just like the ones we had when I was a kid. They've been around. This one's called a moon ball because allegedly, given the name, it can bounce all the way to the moon. We didn't get to try it because I told my son it's crowded. And I was thinking about going on top of the Ferris wheel and tossing it off, but my wife was there, so I didn't. But I say all that for this. It's a fun time to be around my kids to help, you know, think about what are the things that are going to bring them joy. I love to give my kids gifts. It's not so much fun as an adult to pick out your Christmas gifts that you want. It's just kind of like, kind of gets a little depressing. But it's a lot of fun buying Christmas gifts. And this time of year, we often put so much time and effort. But there's always this piece of wisdom that I've always learned from a very young age. Especially when it comes to gifts, to buying things, to buying Christmas presents. There's this one phrase people will often use. Money can't buy happiness. It's an amazing piece of wisdom that I have heard universally from like when I was a little kid. And I would say majority of people in our world would say, I agree with that. Money can't buy happiness. But yet I would contend that about 85 to 90% of people who say that live their lives as if it can. Almost every message we get in our world tells us, oh, you can buy happiness all right. If you just buy that trip, you just buy that thing, you just buy that toy, whatever it is, the prevailing message of our world and our culture is that happiness is this thing you can purchase, but yet we hear over and over again, oh, money can't buy happiness. We hear people who say things about how money can't buy happiness. We'll often hear people who have tons and tons of money. And they'll say, you know, I got all the money in the world, all the power. It was great. It just didn't make me happy. And a lot of times we hear that and in our minds we're like, are you sure you were doing it right? I mean, did you try buying a private island and a jet ski? I'm pretty sure I would be happy with a private island and a jet ski. Because the reality is in our hearts we often have that feeling that, man, whether it be with our money, our effort, our time, our resources, we can create happiness. And here's the reality. We can. Just like I said, I mean, have you ever tried to be sad on a jet ski? Have you ever tried to be sad on your own private deer lease, right? I mean, there's things in life you can buy that will make you happy for a second, for a day, for a moment. With my kids, I have found I can make them happy with my money or my other resources. Man, I can make them really, really happy for like 5 minutes. And then something changes, right? Dad bought us three pieces of candy, but now we want four. Dad took us for ice cream yesterday, but now we want it today, right? There's always a moment where it fades. No matter how much you buy, no matter how much you give, no matter how many resources you use to create happy moments, the reality is there will be more. There will be a moment where you want more. And that's why there's something that we talk about in this Christmas season that I would contend is the antithesis of happiness. Happiness is a thing that's created by what's around me, by resources, by environment. But there's this other thing that is the opposite of that called joy. And joy is a thing that we talk about a lot in the Christmas season, but is a thing that is not dependent on my circumstances. It's not dependent on what I can expend, how I can use my resources. It comes down to one thing. Joy comes from Jesus. And Luke chapter 2 says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby after Jesus was born, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we talk about your joy today, help us to grow and draw closer to the one who gives us that joy, your Son, Jesus. As we seek today to continue to move forward, move closer to you, to draw close in Advent, to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the birth of your Son, help us truly to know the joy that comes only from you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So today, as we continue to unwrap this gift of joy today, I want to talk a little bit about where joy, real joy, comes from. It comes from three things, I would contend. First of all, I believe joy comes from a source. Joy comes from a source. We see that in Luke 2. It says, because Jesus has come, now it will create joy. In John 15, Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Earlier in this passage, Jesus likens himself to the vine that would grow in a vineyard and said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. In this passage, Jesus uses the word remain over 10 times. Again, over and over, he says, remain, remain, remain. And here he says, if you remain in my love, you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Remain in me, keep my commands, obey me, remain in me, and you will have joy. My joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. The thing is, when I am in Christ, when I'm connected to the vine, when I'm remaining in him, what I find is joy. This joy isn't just an emotion, it's a state of being in Christ, of remaining in him, of remaining in his love. The closer I am to him, the more of his joy I get. I don't know if you've ever had that moment where you're having an absolutely horrible day and you go and you stub your foot and suddenly that thing just sets you over the edge. I don't know if I'm the only one who's gotten into a fist fight with an inanimate object, but I've had those moments. Everything's going bad and now this is the thing that pushes me over the edge. But other times, I don't know if you've ever had that moment where something like that happens, but you're having a really good day. Life's going really good. Everything's going great. And then you go and you stub your toe and you just go, all right, that hurt. But like, all right, moving on. Why? Because there's this other thing that's going on in your life that makes even the most minor inconveniences like, not a big deal. Same thing is true when we're remaining in Christ. When I'm in Christ, I have this joy that's overwhelming. And it's hard to take that away from me when I'm really in him. But there's a problem. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, the problem is that joy is never in our power, right? It comes only from God, from being in Christ. But pleasure often is. Joy is never in our power, but pleasure often is. And sometimes we find that the issue in life is that we have to choose between joy that's everlasting and pleasure that lasts a couple minutes, a couple days, a couple seconds. The true thing we have to understand is when we try to garner more pleasure, more of everything around us, when we do that, sometimes we'll find ourselves, we will always find ourselves empty. True joy comes from knowing and being known by Christ. We have to make a choice. What will we choose? Will we choose God's joy, or will we choose to chase pleasure right now? Will we choose to try to make things feel good right now, whether it's a drink, whether it's a click on Amazon, whatever it is. We have all these things that we run to that bring pleasure, and they're great. Nice little dopamine hit for the day. And there's some of those things are just a great part of life that God's given us. But they don't actually create lasting joy, and so we have to choose. Do we want pleasure, or do we want joy? And that's why joy is a choice. Joy isn't just an emotion, it's a choice. And we have to choose then. Are we going to choose joy? Are we going to choose doing things God's way? Are we going to choose to submit ourselves to God? Philippians 4 says to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We talked about this verse, this passage last week as well, talking about peace. The reality is, to get this peace, even to get this joy, there's a decision that's made to not be anxious about anything, but instead to bring everything to God through prayer and supplication. To bring it all to Him. And so in those moments of life where things don't feel very joyful, the question is, what are we chasing? Who are we running to? What are we going to choose? Are we going to choose to surrender all to God and get His joy? Or are we going to choose to try to fix it ourselves, to try to numb it ourselves, to try to make it better ourselves, maybe to get just enough pleasure where the pain is bearable? What are we going to choose? I can choose pleasure. I can choose to try to fix my life to have a little more happiness, or I can choose joy that's beyond my circumstances, that goes beyond anything that's going on around me. Finally, joy is this thing that has a source named Jesus Christ. Joy is a choice. And finally, joy comes from what we rejoice in. Joy comes from what we rejoice in. Bible says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Over and over again in Scripture, there's this idea of rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in what He's done for you. And I have found this in life. Your joy in life is often determined by what or when you're rejoicing. Your joy in life, your whole life for that matter, I would say, comes from or is directed by what you choose to rejoice in. What brings you joy, what makes you happy, what makes you stand up and go, that's awesome. That often is the way that your life is going. If the thing you care most about in life and rejoice the most in life is this thing, well, then your life is going to go that direction. But if your life is rejoicing in Jesus or the things of God, the things that make God rejoice, you're going to have a life that tends to go the direction that God has for your life. See, I say this because I honestly believe we look at our shepherds here. We read about him in Luke 2 last week. We read just a portion of the story. But if you weren't here last week, you've never heard this story. In Luke 2, it tells the story of how there's these shepherds that are in their fields at night after Jesus is born, and suddenly the glory of the Lord shines around them. These angels come and begin singing. And they come, and it says they were terrified. And I love that, because then right after that, the angels go, "Do not be afraid." And the angel and the shepherds are like, too late. Like, a little warning would have been nice. But the angels come and say, "Do not be afraid. I come and bring you good tidings of great joy today in Bethlehem, a Savior is born to you. And he tells them, you will know this because there will be a baby lying in a manger. And the rest of the story is that the shepherds, they go and they leave their flocks at night and they go right to Bethlehem to see this thing. And they worship God. They're so excited. They are rejoicing. And then they leave telling everyone about this thing because they're so excited about it. It brings them great joy. See, I've found in life you can only find joy in something that you value. You only get excited about something that you really value in life. And I fear there's a lot of people that even come in our churches and profess Jesus. I fear a lot of us, it's like if we were the shepherds, it would probably go something like this. Like, wow, that was great. Okay, there's a Savior's born. Okay, that's awesome. So anyways, the Cowboys game on Sunday. Have you seen the stock market today? The way that we live our lives is like, that's great. A Savior is nice. And sometimes when we come to Christmas, it's like, yeah, a Savior is a great thing. That's nice. But it's not really something that, like, we're willing to just, like, leave everything for. It's not something we value that highly. I mean, if you notice the shepherds, I don't know how much you know about shepherds, but they had this thing that was kind of a big part of their job. It was keeping the sheep alive. I'm sure you didn't know that, but that's a nice little piece of information. Their goal is to keep the sheep alive, and it's nighttime, and they leave the sheep and go to Bethlehem. Now imagine that for a second. You have a coworker who's got one job, keep this thing alive, and then they just take off in the middle of the night, and they go to Bethlehem. Why? I saw an angel. Okay, that guy's getting fired or drug tested. One of the two. Right? So these guys, they go, and they leave. And so ultimately, I would say, no offense to the shepherds, they're not good shepherds at that point. But you know what they are? They're good followers of Jesus. They're good followers of God, not being the best shepherds. They go and they leave everything and they go to Bethlehem because this thing mattered to them. An angel came and said, a Savior is born today. Okay, I'll leave it all. Forget this. Yeah, you're good. Hey, you're in charge, sheepy. I'm leaving. Consequently, or in another way, Jesus says this in Matthew 13. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Can you imagine how much a treasure would be worth for you to find it in the ground? That you know automatically, this isn't fake, this is the real deal, this is what we're doing. You go home, your spouse, all right, grab everything. We're having a yard sale. We're selling the house too. We're selling the car. We're getting rid of everything. Why? Because I found something that I know, if I can just get my hands on that, it will change everything in our life. I'm willing to give it all. This person that Jesus is referring to is a person who understands how much the treasure is worth. The shepherds understood how much this was worth, how much this mattered. But the problem is, I have found that the greatest enemy of joy in our life isn't pain, it's distraction. The greatest enemy of joy in our life, of having the joy of our Lord and of the Lord in our life, of actually living a life that's full of joy no matter the circumstances, it isn't just pain, it's distraction. Because when we get distracted from our Jesus, our source of joy, we have a lot less joy in our life. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Peter writes and says, you can have joy now because of what's coming. You can have joy now because you know what's coming. In Hebrews, it tells us to run the race set out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This thing called joy comes from us focusing on what really matters, on what's to come, on Jesus, on our source of joy. But when we lose focus on that, we lose joy. I have found this in life. There are some people that have made some huge mistakes, life-changing mistakes, because they lost focus on what really mattered. This past week, there was a football coach who makes more money than I will probably make in my whole entire lifetime per year. And he lost his job like that. And the biggest reason is because he was having an affair with someone that worked for him. And you look at something like that and you're like, really? And not only things went really, if you read the news story, it went like from bad to worse. He made it even worse. And now he's going to probably lose a lot of stuff in his life. His life is definitely not going the direction that it was just a week ago. Because he made this choice, and you look at that and you go, man, was that affair worth it? Like, was that, why would you trade that? I don't know how great that relationship was, but the amount of money you were making per year, I don't think that was worth it. My dad always had a story. About a time early on in business, there was someone that he was kind of working with, came into his office. He was newly married, I was very young, so it wouldn't have been too long in my parents' marriage. And long story short, this gal was suggesting maybe the two of them should have an affair. And my dad had said no. And then she kind of continued on talking about it. And my dad turned, he's sitting at his desk, and he's got a picture of his wife and me, his son. And he goes, and he turns it around. He says, I want you to look at that for a second. And he says, why would I want to lose my relationship with my wife? Why would I only want to see my son every other weekend for one night with you? Like, that's not worth it. And in the same way in life, I have found this. When we chase worthless things, we end up having a worthless life. When we lose focus on what really matters, we chase worthless stuff, and then we get worthless results out of our life. And the same is true, especially when it comes to following Jesus. When we get distracted from what really matters, which is Jesus Christ, what often happens is we lose the joy that he brings because we get distracted. Then we stop rejoicing in the gift that he brings because we're too busy rejoicing in other things. We're rejoicing more in the presence of Christmas, the games of Christmas, the relationships of Christmas. We rejoice more in money, we rejoice more in the things of this world, and then we end up losing out on the joy that God wants to bring through Jesus Christ. Because if we're rejoicing more in things other than Jesus, I'm not going to get the joy that he brings. The greatest enemy of joy isn't pain, it's distraction. When I get distracted and stop rejoicing in God and what Jesus has done for me and rejoicing in the gifts that God brings to us at Christmas, what ends up happening is I start to see the gifts that Jesus brings to my life as something that's just kind of nice. Going back to our treasure in the field, we start to see the treasure in the field as kind of a nice thing. And if the stock market is up enough, I would invest a little money in buying that field. If things are going okay, maybe I'd give a little bit to get it. But everything's a lot. My house, I got a good mortgage rate on it, and it's not the time. Not the time to sell. All right, there's always a reason not to give everything to God. Man, I got all these other things going on in my life. Sure, I'll give a little bit. Then we start to see the other things that Jesus brings is not something worth giving all for. We think salvation is kind of nice, but we start to think, man, did I really need that much saving in the first place? We think holiness is a nice idea. Yeah, it'd be great to look more and more like Jesus, as long as it doesn't conflict too much with my own schedule and ideas in life. We start to see the gifts that Jesus brings as something that's just, it's kind of nice. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a person who found a treasure in a field. And in their joy, they went and sold everything. Because when we really get who Jesus is and what he wants to do in your life, you realize it's something I will give everything. It's awesome. It's worth more than anything else in my life. And so the big question comes down to, when we talk about Christmas, when we talk about Jesus and his gift of joy, the biggest question we can ask ourselves is, what makes me rejoice in life? What am I rejoicing in? Am I rejoicing in who Jesus is? Am I rejoicing in the gift of the Son of God coming down to a manger to eventually go to a cross for me? If I'm not, first of all, if you're someone here and you're like, yeah, I don't really rejoice that much in Jesus, I just want you to know I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here, and you're not alone. The reality is there's so many people that have lost that joy of the Lord because they stop rejoicing in who Jesus is. That's why every year we have this thing called Advent, is to prepare our hearts to worship Jesus at Christmas. Because so often we get mixed up in life and we forget about how awesome of a gift Jesus Christ really is and how much it matters. That's why it's so cool and amazing. And so today I just want to ask you, what are you rejoicing in? Maybe today's a day where you go, man, I need to rejoice in the Lord more. Maybe that's writing down, God, here's what I'm so thankful for. Maybe it's having a time of worship in your life. Whatever it comes from or is in your life, I want to invite you to actually make a practical habit this week. Man, for your families, maybe this is a week that you sit down and you have a family time where you guys rejoice in the Lord together. Maybe it's at nighttime. Man, what do we want to rejoice in the Lord for today? My kids and I, we do this quite often. And man, we rejoice in the Lord for a lot of weird stuff. We rejoice in the Lord because God made unicorns. Something we thank God for. That's my daughter, by the way, if you're like, not like my son or my wife. We rejoice in the Lord together. Maybe you're also someone out there that you're, man, you don't necessarily have a relationship with Jesus Christ yet. You haven't experienced this joy of the Lord because you haven't actually fully started a relationship with him. I just want to invite you to examine your hearts today, and maybe today's the day. Maybe if you're walking through life and you're like, I don't have a lot of joy in my life. I get moments of happiness, but I never get joy, lasting joy. Let me invite you to make today the day that you give Jesus Christ everything, that you surrender all to him, and that through his Spirit he begins to give you the fruit of his Spirit, one of which is joy. A joy that lasts above all things going on in our life. So today as we close, I want to invite you to bow your heads. And if you're someone today who is in that position of wanting to take that step across the line and say, God, I want to give you everything. God, I just want to pray for them right now. I pray that right now in their hearts, they would just surrender all to you. They would give you everything, the sins that they've committed and the good things, and lay them at your feet, admitting that you are Lord of their life. God, I pray today's the day you take full control of their life, and that they would walk out of here today filled with your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in their life. God, I thank you for every person that's here. And God, I pray you would convict us in the areas where we don't rejoice enough in you. We don't connect to our source of joy, which is Jesus. God, that we don't make the choice to choose joy over our own happiness or other things that we try to fill our life with. God, we just thank you for how you're working in us. Continue to convict us. Continue to fill us with your joy. Help us to be a people of joy. Help us to be a people who are rejoicing in you. God, we rejoice in who you are. We rejoice in the fact that you are the creator of the universe. We rejoice in the fact that even though us, your creation, was separated from you through sin, God, we rejoice in the fact that you loved us so much, not just talking about how much you loved us or sending a card to let us know how much you loved us. You sent your son down to die on a cross for us. God, we rejoice in that. We rejoice that that grave was empty after 3 days and that your son rose and sits at your right hand.
rejoice in the fact that we have life and life eternal through him. We rejoice in the fact that we can have life and life to the full here and now, walking by your Spirit. God, we rejoice in the fact that we are your church. We are your people. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are the dwelling places of you by your Holy Spirit. God, we have so much to rejoice in. Help us to be a people who continue to lift up your praises and rejoice in who you are and how great and amazing the gift of your Son Jesus is. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Well, church, we have a great God to serve. We have a great God to rejoice in. And so I want to invite you, let's continue to rejoice together.